choosing purpose over popularity. That we have to live our lives on purpose and out of a sense of purpose. And that God calls us and has a calling for us to live out of. And we've talked about choosing surrender over control. That we have to give up. That we have to surrender our lives. We have to surrender everything about our lives to God in order for Him to reach in and do what only He can do. And that as long as we try to control everything, we in fact will lose control. And we've talked about discipline over regret. That we've talked about that fact that God calls us to be strong and God calls us to live in a way that reflects who He is, His character, rather than living in regret. And yet I suspect that many people, as we've gone through these weeks, it's possible that some of us have said just that. I didn't choose, it chose me. And yet God calls us to that opportunity to say, and yet now I make a choice. I think the sermon for today may be the hardest. It is for me. And I have to tell you and in advance that as we start the message today, this area of life that we're going to be talking about today is for me the hardest of all of the areas. It's one of those areas that whenever I was growing up or younger and first became a follower of Christ, the church I was in, the preacher would oftentimes say that he was moving from preaching to meddling. Now, I don't know if you know that word, but it means interfering. And I'm afraid that today we're moving from preaching to meddling. We're interfering. We're getting inside of our lives, including my life, and pointing out directly where there may be some issues. But I'm going to tell you that this is an area where I struggle. Where for me to make that choice, sometimes I feel like I don't choose this. This chooses me. And that area is choosing the important over the urgent. Choosing the important over the urgent. You know what I mean, don't you? That there are these areas of life that are important. Things we say we want to do. I need to do this. I want to do this. We say these are the important things. And yet life gets so urgent. It gets busy and there are things that happen and things go on. And life seems to choose for itself the path that it forces us to take. It can feel that way. I want us to look at Luke chapter 10 today. Luke 10 verses 38 through 42, a very well-known story, but a story I think that illustrates exactly how hard it can be to make the right choices, to make this choice of the important over the urgent. Now, and it starts in verse 38 and says, "Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to come help me, then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her.'" Now, I don't know how many of us have heard that story. I've heard it so many times. And I've heard it preached on a number of times. And yet, I think there are some aspects to this that are really important for us to acknowledge. Some reasons why we look at this and it's so easy to come and say, "Man, if only Martha had chosen what was really important. Mary did. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Didn't Martha know how important it was to sit at the feet of Jesus? And we, if we're not careful, we tend to blame Martha for this choice of not sitting at the feet of Jesus as he comes into her home. But I want us to think about the reality of this, because in so many ways, I think Martha felt like the decision chose her, not she made the decision. There were a number of reasons why Martha did what she did. And in fact, she did it for all the right social reasons. There were expectations in this corner of the world in particular, really in so many places, but particularly in this part of the world, there were social reasons why that was important. There were expectations for her hospitality. Jesus was in the house. There were needs for hospitality. They had come from a long journey and they needed food. They needed to be able to relax, to do things, to be there and simply enjoy the hospitality of that home. And it was the norm. It was what it was expected from her. There was this expectation in terms of the social expectation that she do that, that she, as the, she quite possibly was even the owner of this home, which would have been unusual. But even if she was simply the woman of the home, the primary woman in this home, it would have been her responsibility. And there would have been immense social pressure to do that. And honestly, it felt like what was right. We need to do this for Jesus. We need to do this for Jesus. We need to open our home and welcome him in. How is he going to feel welcome in our home if we don't provide the hospitality for him? There were these social reasons that were very real, but there were also the right, for lack of a better word, I've called it work reasons. Have you ever noticed there's always a lot to be done? I mean, you know, and here's the honest truth. We have a lot to be done, even in the church. And we've talked about, even this morning, the different ministries, the different opportunities. There are different things that are going on. It takes a lot of work to get ready, to prepare, to do the things that happen every single Sunday. It is a lot of work, and people invest that work. And here's the truth. We say, well, it's got to be done. It's got to be done. And so we do, we say, here are these opportunities to use your gifts. And in this home, in this place where it was, in this situation, there was work that needed to be done. If this hospitality was going to take place, if Jesus was going to be welcomed in the way that he was supposed to be welcomed, somebody had to do it. It wasn't just going to happen. And so in that setting, there were all the right work reasons. There were reasons she needed help. Martha's in there. She's killing herself. Some of you have been in situations in perhaps in this church or other churches where you felt like, would somebody not just help? I'm killing myself. Would somebody not step in and help me? And that's what Martha's doing. Martha's simply saying, would somebody not step in and help me? I'm killing myself here. Jesus, can't you tell her to please help me? It seems right. It seems like the thing to do. It seems like that's what should have happened. Our expectations and the words in which Martha phrases this is a question that expects a positive answer. When she says to Jesus, couldn't you tell Mary to help me? Her expectation is that Jesus would say, yes, Mary's not pulling her share. She's not doing what she should be doing. Yes, I'll go and tell Mary. That's the way the language is phrased. Because there was every right work reason for this to happen that way. But there was also the right religious reasons. I mean, we have made doing the most spiritual thing there is. But we didn't start it. We didn't start it. As far back as when the New Testament was written. Doing was the most spiritual thing. Do this. And we even hear that in what Jesus says oftentimes. Do the right thing. There's the religious reasons we should be doing things. And we have this, we kind of have to admit, we have this drive within us, right? That we feel like we ought to. Have you heard that voice in your head? We ought to do this. We have these religious reasons that it seems like it's the right thing to do. There are religious reasons. And I have to ask myself, with all of this, and I feel these very same things, I have to admit there is not a week that goes by that I don't struggle with all of these. The pressure, the social reasons why there ought to be more that I do. The work reasons, well, somebody's got to do it. I mean, you know, bottom line is, if it's going to fall through, it falls to me. Somebody's got to do it. And then the religious reasons, well, I have to model being the right kind of follower of Christ. And how do I express that often? By doing. And somehow thinking that that is the best way in which to model what it means to be a follower of Christ. So I have to almost ask myself, how do we stop ourselves from making decisions about the important over the urgent with all of these really good reasons exerting pressure on us? And the truth is that the urgent things, they make us feel good. They make us feel important. When we do the urgent things, if somebody steps up and says, this has got to be done, and we step in, it makes us feel good, doesn't it? We can say, you know, I was able to help. I'm glad I was able to help. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. Except the problem is that sometimes we miss the important. Urgent makes us feel important. Important makes sure we take care of the things which actually change lives. If we lose our focus on the important, we can easily do all of the urgent things and miss the very things that are going to change lives. Urgent screams. Urgent screams in our ears. The important things whisper. Important things whisper for our attention. Now, let me just ask you a question. I'm getting real personal about me, too. Every time somebody asks you how you're doing, is your automatic response busy? Busy. I almost answer that with that way without even thinking about it. You know, I call someone or I talk to someone and they say, so how are you doing? My automatic response is, almost without fail, well, things are really busy. Things are really busy. Why has that become a good thing? Why has that become a shield of honor? I thought of two possible reasons. One, it makes us feel good to say it. So we look for ways to be busy. If we're not busy, have you ever had somebody call you or contact you and you really aren't that busy, but you feel like you ought to say you are? Because there's nothing glorious, there's nothing good, there's nothing honorable about not being busy. It's like, well, yeah, man, right now things are a breeze. I don't have anything to do. I could add another 100 things to my schedule and it not make a dent. There's nothing spiritual about that in our way of thinking. There's nothing honorable about that. We look for ways to be busy. We feel like that to be busy is to be important and needed. And so one possible reason that we're so busy is that we look for reasons to be busy. But the second reason is that just what Dina said, we allow someone else to take the choice away from us. We have allowed outside forces, we have allowed someone else in some way, shape, or form, or fashion to take away that choice for doing the important over the urgent. There's a saying that says, if the devil can't make you bad, he will make you busy. And I think that's true. Sandra McCracken says, sometimes I unknowingly choose to live on the fumes of life's distractions because getting lost in the details might be a way to cope with feelings of emptiness, pain, or frustration. Just beneath the noise of my to-do list, I think I can hear it thinly veiled in Martha's protest from the kitchen. Jesus, why don't you make my sister come help me in here? McCracken goes on to say that what Jesus was offering Martha, and I think this is critical, what Jesus was offering Martha was not a rebuke. He was not getting on to her. He was not saying, hey, look at Mary, she chose to do better than you did. But rather, it was an offer of refreshment for her. He's saying, Mary, while I'm grateful for what you do, why don't you come get the one thing that you really need from me? He's saying, instead of trying to take care of me, why don't you let me take care of you? Isn't it true that so often our busyness is a reflection of our belief that we have to take care of God rather than letting Him take care of us? We have to somehow prove to God our love for Him. We have to prove to God somehow our value to Him. We have to prove to God that we really take it seriously. And so we get so busy and then say to God, why can't you send me help? And just like with Martha, He says, let me give you the one thing that you really need. You need refreshment in me. So how do we choose? Very quickly, how do we choose what is important? First, make sure you know who you are and why you are here. We've talked about this over these last weeks. Be is so much more important. Being, be before you ever do. Your identity cannot be found in what you produce. You cannot produce enough for that to become the identity that God wants to give you. When we look at Mary and Martha, Jesus wouldn't be with them on earth forever, and they needed to look for what He wanted them to gain from Him. He didn't need anything from them. These reasons that we listed, the social pressure, the work pressure, the religious pressure, none of these can take priority over Jesus. He is the one who can help us with that question, why did you put me here? What are we trying to make up for? What is it that we're trying to prove? Who is it that we're trying to impress? We have to answer these questions in order to find out who we are. Secondly, consider what big picture things will help you pursue who you are and why you're here. Most of all, this is going to take us sitting at the feet of Jesus. There is no way we can do the things we are designed to do by Him if we're not spending time with Him. And yet, whenever we get under those pressure, whenever those social pressure, work pressure, religious pressure comes, what's the first thing that leaves? What's the first thing to go out of our lives? Our time with Him. I'm too busy to spend time with you, Jesus, because I'm busy working for you. And He says, I want you to come sit at my feet. There's no way we can be who He's designed us to be unless we can spend time with Him. And then secondly, what was it going to take for us to change? Let me ask you a hard question. What is it you hate about your life? What is it you hate about your life? Sometimes we can't determine how to change unless we sit at the feet of Jesus. We may hate things about our lives, and sometimes what Jesus wants to do is change our hearts. He doesn't want to change our circumstances. He wants to change our hearts. But we won't know that until we sit at His feet. Sometimes He wants to change our circumstances. But we won't know that until we sit at His feet. Second question, what do you love about your life? Has God created you in such a way to pursue something that you're not pursuing? Do you remember our illustration from last week about Dwight Moody? He was selling shoes. Now, there is nothing wrong with selling shoes. In fact, God needs believers who sell shoes. God needs believers who do everything. Everybody should not be a preacher, evangelist, missionary. We need people who are selling shoes, who are committed to Christ. But Dwight Moody needed to be a missionary, an evangelist. And he was selling shoes. And he was selling shoes because it was urgent. He needed to survive. And his circumstances changed because he went to God and said, I'll do anything. And I'll trust you for anything. What are we not trusting God for? And then when you know what is important, do it. When you know what is important, if you want to know how to live and live out the important, then when you know what it is, do it. Spend every part of every single day on the important. Guard your life well. Don't let the trivia. Now, let's be careful with what trivia is, because sometimes we define trivia, the important things we define as trivia. It is not trivial to spend time with your child playing in the floor. It is not trivial to spend time every single day with the Lord. And yet sometimes those things get overshadowed by other things. And then be willing to make change. Now, here's the truth. Every single one of us will have times in which we're busy. And so don't hear me say that if you are ever busy, you're not living out the important things of life. Because the truth is, every single one of us will have times when we simply are almost overwhelmed. We're so busy. That happens. Here's another truth. If that's the pattern of your life, then you probably are missing some important things and change needs to take place. Are we willing to make change where we see that the pattern of our life is choosing the urgent over the important? What will it take to make change? I want to finish with just a scripture, Philippians 4:8-9, which I think is, if I could pattern my life in so many ways after this, then I think I would be able to choose the important over the urgent. It says, Philippians 4:8-9 says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. Would you pray with me, please?